This is my personal history, section D, about the collegiate education. As I may have mentioned earlier, I completed my high school education. At that time it was called SSLC, Secondary School Leaving Certificate, from a school called RPBS Board High School, which is a government school, in a location called Kalahasti, which is about 50 miles from Madras, which is now these days called Chennai. In those days it was Madras. And Madras was where I went to college. So after I graduated, you had to get admitted to a college. In this particular case, you might call it a junior college. It's really a four-year college, except I only went for 2 years in the junior college equivalent, which is called intermediate. So thus, after the 11th grade, I studied for 2 more years, you might call it 12th and 13th. And after that, I had 4 more years of engineering education. So my college education then consists of 2 parts, the junior college and the engineering college. Both of these were part of University of Madras. In India, most education happens in colleges, and these are affiliated colleges. The university by itself does not do much teaching other than at postgraduate levels, and most of the undergraduate and junior college education happens in these colleges. In that sense, you could think of these colleges being similar to the colleges at Cambridge and Oxford, where students in, say, Trinity College would learn, most of the education would happen in the college, but they also would be able to attend other lectures in other colleges if they wanted. But the university, the Cambridge University, there's not something called a university college in our education system. Most of the education happens in colleges. The only difference is, in India, these colleges tend to be geographically distributed, so a student who doesn't have any transportation cannot plan to or afford to travel to different locations where the lectures are being given that are of interest to him. And that's one of the reasons why the college system in India is not quite the same as Cambridge, because all the colleges of Cambridge University are within a few mile radius, and so you can go from one to the other, and it's just that each of them probably specialized in certain kinds of activities, like Trinity College is well known for its mathematics, right? So that's the background on the colleges and college education. So I attended Loyola College. Loyola College in Madras is in Nungambakkam, and it is one of the kind of, you would call it a preeminent or highly respected college in Madras and Madras Presidency, which is now called Tamil Nadu. And it was a self-contained community, and a lot of the people that came from out of town, there were many children attending Loyola College that came from the city itself. These were called day scholars. They would come in the morning and go home in the evening and study at home. Many others, like me, came from outside of the city, outside of the district even, you know, a larger community. And my home was about 60 miles away from the Madras city, and therefore it was not possible to commute, and so I had to stay in the hostel. So the hostels in Madras were pretty good compared to the quality of living I had to go through during my high school days. And So even getting admitted, you know, you needed recommendations and other kinds of things. I was fortunate enough to get somebody to take me and introduce me to the principal, who was a Jesuit priest. I didn't know anything about Jesuit priests or Roman Catholic religion, Christianity, religion, at that time, coming from this village. But I knew they were different, obviously. They were wearing these long robes, white robes, and they had this very peaceful way of speaking and interacting. And anyway, I was fortunate to be selected. And I was one of the many students that came from Andhra Pradesh into Loyola College. It turned out, a few years later, this was in 1952, about 56 or 57, they started an Andhra Loyola College in Guntur, which was kind of funded by the wealthy people in Guntur and Krishna districts, and because they needed to have an educational system that provided the right incentives. So the subjects that I took at that time were math, physics, and chemistry. In retrospect, that was a shame, because I didn't learn anything else about history or geography or something else. That all those subjects were not only not required. So, for example, if you said something about Plato or something about Machiavelli, I wouldn't know what you're talking about, right? Those subjects were never introduced, and most people in India go through their whole educational system without ever being exposed to what Western education considers liberal arts education, and this is probably one of the deficiencies of the system. So anyway, my subjects were math, physics, and chemistry, and I think I was a good student, not a great student. And I'm trying to remember. I think I, you know, passed with distinction or something. From what I remember, my intermediate marks in math, physics, and chemistry were all in the 90% level. These days, everybody gets 90%. In those days, it was unusual. Most people got, you know, 70, 80, 90. And so, but I don't believe I was the top student in the school. I never found out that. I had no reason to think I would be, because, you know, coming from a rural environment, even just to catch up with all these city students who had much better education going in than I did, was hard enough. But fortunately, I was able to manage. And the biggest problem for me when I went in was the whole medium of instruction in Loyola College was English. And many people speaking this language were foreigners, you know. There was one Irish professor, one, you know, Italian professor, two or three, you know, British professors, and they would all be speaking English in, you know, accents that I could never understand. So most of what I would go sit in the class, I wouldn't understand a single word of what they were saying. And the only thing that saved me was there was a textbook, there were assignments, so that means I had to somehow read and figure out what the hell was going on, and then do what was asked. And I must have been able to do that. I don't remember being, you know, especially bright or anything, but seemed to be able to do what needed to be done and get on and get the things straight. So one of the interesting things I remember, I found out very quickly, so there was this examination in physics, in our test, you know, at the end of the first month, and I lost a lot of marks. You know, they were asking for Newton's laws of motion. I thought I understood what Newton's laws of motion, so I wrote it down as I understood it. It turned out every word there was very important and very precise meaning. And if you leave out certain words and don't say it exactly right, you're not communicating the Newton's laws of motion as clearly. And so that meant I had to know how to repeat word for word, verbatim, and that meant I had to memorize all those things, whatever they're likely to ask. And that's what I did, you know, that's what you had to do, and that's what I did. But unfortunately, that didn't really increase your understanding, especially if English is not your medium, mother tongue or native language. You didn't increase your understanding of the Newton's laws of motion. All that you did was what it took to take the exam and get the high score that you needed to do. And the life in Loyola College was very interesting, and you know, it's a completely new world for me, coming from a little village. We had movies every Saturday in a huge movie theater, which was a lot of fun, and all the kids, we had different messes, you know. There was an Andhra mess, and there was a Kerala mess, and Kerala Tamil Nadu mess, and non-vegetarian and vegetarian messes, and so on. That meant you could actually, you would join one of these messes for a month, and then you would eat that kind of food. You know. So many of the cuisines I never tasted before, like Kerala food is, you know, very different, or can be very different, but it's tasty in its own right. So that was a completely new experience of different kinds of food. The biggest problem for most of us coming from villages is, in India at least, most toilets are squatting toilets, right? You squat. And so the first day you kind of go there, and in the Loyola College there are some squatting toilets, but half of them were the conventional Western style toilets. And so, but most of us didn't know what to do with them. So we would squat on top of them, right? And so, furthermore, they only had paper, they didn't have water, and so you didn't know how to clean yourself and so on. So it was kind of a difficult situation. And there was nobody to ask or find out either, because somehow this is not something that you're told about. And so, it's kind of thing that you learn ultimately. I wish it could have been taught on day one, so that at least you knew how you're supposed to do, what behave. And the same is true with respect to showers. And they were all cold water showers, that's fine. And but occasionally there'd be, you know, shortage of water, and then you couldn't have a shower. And so if you, and so, you know, we were staying in the hostel, therefore we were away from home. But in my case, I've been away from home even in high school anyway, so it was not a significantly different experience of being on your own in college. But for many others, it was a big change, and many of them would feel lonely and miss home and all kinds of other things, which in turn affected their college level performance. Now, fortunately, in my case, since I was kind of mentally brainwashed already to accept the fact I'm not going to be at home, and it all worked out. Hobbies. I guess I could have played tennis there. The time I was here, my classmate was Krishnan, R. Krishnan, who then went on to become the champion of Indian tennis and was also played in Wimbledon and other international tournaments. But Krishnan, you know, was one of the top players, and we would kind of, he would be in my class, and would, I didn't know him that well, but I would see him playing and so on. And it never occurred to me that I would be able to play tennis with him or anywhere at that level. Furthermore, there was the simple problem of having a tennis racket, and that meant you had to invest money into a tennis racket. You know, as I said, while we were not poor, we were not rich either, so the amount of money I had at any given time was just enough to pay the hostel fees and other things and books and so on, but not for a lot of extracurricular activities. And as a result, I don't believe I had any hobbies, you know. When I went to engineering college, you know, I had a classmate who came from Pondicherry, and he could play every game, and basketball, you know, volleyball, and he could box, and he would do weightlifting, and so he was exposed to all the different kinds of athletic things in the Pondicherry ashram, which was run by the French in those days. And the net result was that many of us who did not have the benefit of quality school education didn't feel empowered, so to speak, to take on hobbies of our own. And it always seemed like those are forbidden to us, only people, you know, that are from rich families or are better educated or something can do that, and all the rest of us did was stand around and watch the others play, in some sense. And I'm sure I probably went and tried playing hockey and a few other things, field hockey, but I was not that good at it, therefore, after a little while, gave up on it. So any memorable event I might want to share while at the college? Yeah, there was one event that was quite interesting. In 1953, I believe, there was a huge flood in Godavari, and the rains were so, you know, large, it essentially wiped out a large number of villages. A lot of crops were lost, and the whole thing became a major fiasco. And there was a Godavari Flood Relief Fund that was set up, and all of us students from Andhra went and collected money. So I, with another classmate of mine, Jaivarth Reddy, who through accident of history, later on became my co-brother-in-law, and we married two sisters. But at that time we were just friends, and we went house to house collecting money and selling tickets to this movie called Maleshwari. Maleshwari was the classic movie of the 50s and was widely used by everybody else. So that's the, you know, scene. That is probably the most interesting event of that time that I remember, because, you know, it was different than conventional going to school, because we were going to each home, knocking on the door and saying, would you please buy some movie tickets? And they would, you know, look at these two, you know, students from Loyola College. You know, we were not dirty or anything, but we were not, you know, we were not going driving around in cars collecting money. We walked from house to house. And then when the movie was held, it was a great success, because a large number of people who had bought the tickets had come, and we sent away the money. And it was quite an interesting time at that time. And soon after that, the state of Andhra Pradesh was created. I think it was in 1955 or something, 50 or 54. And that's a different event, which I'll talk about in a minute. After the break, I'll go through the collegiate experiences of being in the engineering college, where I attended from 1954 to 58.